In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I love this pericope, this story that we just read. It contains a healing within a healing, doesn't it? Jesus started addressing one healing and then had a second healing and then went back and completed the first healing. He healed two women in the gospel reading today. He healed both of them by touch, and by touch that was against the law in both cases. He healed the woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And if you look at the law as written in Leviticus, when a woman is hemorrhaging, she is ceremonially unclean. And that means she is to touch no one. No one is to touch her. She is to separate herself from other people. She is not to attend church. She's not to be in public. So this has been her life for 12 years, disconnected from everybody and everything. Of course, Jesus ignored the regulation, didn't he? And he healed her. And he not only healed her of the bleeding disorder that she suffered from, but he gave her life back. She could rejoin her family. She could rejoin her church family. She would be able to have fullness of life that she had not experienced for the last 12 years. So there wasn't just a physical healing that happened here. There was a spiritual healing, a relationship healing as well, that all happened. Jesus also healed the young daughter of Jairus, who was the ruler of the local synagogue, and he healed her by touching her. And again, that touch was against the law, because Leviticus forbids touching a dead body, and that makes one unclean. And again, Jesus ignored that regulation, and he healed her, in this case, by bringing her from death back to life. And what Jesus told Jairus before that healing was, do not worry, but have faith. The interesting dimension that I find to that is that the faith of Jairus had a role in the healing, right? In the case of the woman that he healed, she already had faith. And he said, your faith has healed you. In this case, he was telling Jairus to have more faith, and it was Jairus' faith that was providing the power to heal a third party. That's what we are all about when we are engaging in intercessory prayers, when we do prayers of the people, when we write names in our bidding sheet at the back of the church. All of that is about our faith providing the power to make a change for the better in someone else's life. And this is a case of Jesus exactly showing the power of doing that thing, of the power that you and I carry as believers and followers in Jesus Christ. It carries the power to change the life of somebody else. When Ruth, my wife Ruth's father, was in his 80s, he had finally had bouts with prostate cancer and with other, a heart bypass surgery and a number of health issues that were really beginning to gang up on his body. And he knew he was dying. And Ruth and our younger daughter, Lori, went back to Central New York to see him. And in one of the conversations Ruth had with her dad, he said, I'm really afraid to die. Because, to be honest, I've really not had enough faith in heaven, and I'm scared. And Ruth's response to him was, Dad, don't worry about it, because I've got enough faith for both of us. And, at the time I thought, what a wonderful thing for her to say, but this shows which her comment was actually scripturally based, right? Because it's saying that her faith can materially affect, carries the power, the divine power to make changes in someone else's life. When she made that statement to him, you could see that he developed a whole new peace that extended through the rest of his life. It made a huge difference in the way he faced each day to know that she had enough faith for both of them. And you and I carry that same faith. Your faith and mine are forces that God recognizes in answering prayer. Your faith and mine are forces that can change the lives of other people. We need to recognize that and use it through the prayers we say, both here on Sunday and during the week. Another element that I want us to recognize from the two people who were healed was the presence of touch in their healing. That really impressed me, that both of these healings involved touch. For the young daughter of Jairus, touch brought her physical life. For the woman, touch brought fullness of life, both physical and relational. Touch carries power. Jesus used touch over and over and over again. A few instances, he touched an insane hermit, an expert in religious law, a fisherman, a king, a poor widow, a rich man, a blind beggar, and on and on and on. I found a list that said in the Gospels there are actually 33 instances where Jesus touched someone. And that touch brought a divine change in their life. It carries power. Years ago, Ruth was scheduled to undergo a surgery, checked into the hospital, had the surgery, and she was assigned to a room in the hospital that had one other bed. And the woman in the other bed had dementia, and she did a lot of talking into the air. And it was really becoming troublesome for the staff and for the other patients because it was very loud, and it was 24 hours a day. And people were irritated by this experience. And Ruth, you know, within hours now, they have you out of bed, right, and walking around. So within a few hours, she was out of bed after the surgery, and where she went was to this woman's bed. And she put her hand on her forehead and started talking with her. And then she rubbed the hair on the top of her head with her hand and continued talking with her. The talking stopped. Immediately, the talking stopped. And she started calmly talking with Ruth. Maybe not always, maybe in a easy to follow path of logic, but she was at peace. She felt a calm, and it just took the anxiety out of the whole floor in the hospital. And she had this look of peace on her face, and I saw that when I came to visit Ruth, this lady in the bed next to her. Touch is deeply, deeply powerful. And touch does not have to be physical touch. I want to make that clear, too. Don't go around touching every person you see in the store. That's not going to go well, you know. So you have to use your discernment of how touch happens. But there are lots of ways touch happens. And I found a wonderful short report here that I want to read to you of another kind of touch that all of us are capable of. Listen to this story. About 10 years ago, we saw Jesus in the Amish community. Charlie Roberts walked into a one-room schoolhouse near Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and opened fire. He killed 5 students and wounded 5 others, and then he took his own life. Charlie's mother, Terry, will never forget that day. Her husband said, "I'll never be able to face my Amish neighbors again." And a few days later, the Robertses buried their son in a small private cemetery. And as they came to the gravesite, they saw 40 members of their Amish community approaching them. They unfolded the Roberts family in a semicircle, extending forgiveness and sharing grief. In their sorrow and shame and loneliness, the Robertses came looking for Jesus that day, whether they knew it or not. All they got was the Amish. And on that day, that small wounded group of Amish were the real Jesus. That's who we want to be for the addict and the parolee, for the lonely teenager and the disabled vet, for the cynical banker and the calloused farmer, for the street walker and the street cleaner. We want to bring healing and compassion and peace to overscheduled families and exhausted night shift workers, to blue lives and black lives, to bow-tied professionals and professional slackers. End of quote. This mother and father were touched by the care and the compassion and the forgiveness that they received from the people in their community. And that's what yours and my faith tradition teaches us that you and I are about too. That's what brings fullness into our lives. It is through the impact we have on other people's lives that we receive fullness in our own. The question that I think we are being asked is, how do you touch the lives of the people around you? Our faith in Jesus connects us to the power that can change the course of life, not only our own life, but others' lives. Jesus invites us to him, and he says, do not fear, only believe. Amen.